Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, February 20th. A chilly morning here in St. Louis, but we're going to talk with some friends, not only here in St. Louis, but also out in Irvine, California today. So that'll warm things up for us. We're going to talk about LYF, Lutheran Youth Fellowship. Hope you can join us for that conversation here in just a moment. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. You can find out more about them and say thanks to them for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me in studio today, Jessica Bordolo. She serves as the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Coordinator and also LYF Lutheran Youth Fellowship Training Coordinator as well. Jessica, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thanks.
It's good to have you here in studio today and to have some time to chat about this. It's been a while. It's been several months since we've had a chance to chat about LYF and Young Adult Ministry.
Yeah, last time we talked about it, we had a whole different training. So this year we have a new training curriculum and a new plan. That's pretty exciting.
Very good. Very good. We're glad to have you here. We also have a friend joining us as well, Maddie Upchurch, LYF Executive Board Member, joining us this morning by phone. Maddie, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And thanks for taking some time out of your schedule. I know it's a busy morning for you. You've got classes to get to as well this morning, but glad that we get some time to talk with you this morning and about your involvement with LYF. Jessica, let's talk about LYF. What is Lutheran Youth Fellowship and your involvement with it?
Lutheran Youth Fellowship is really committed to empowering youth to use their leadership gifts, to serve others, and to share their faith. So we help identify and develop leadership skills in youth, in high school aged youth. I think that's sometimes we seem to think that youth are the church of tomorrow, you know, and later on they'll rise up and be part of the church, but they're part of the church right now. And so by developing those leadership skills, they can really fulfill their vital role in the congregations right now.
Yeah, the congregation is made up of people of all ages. It's not that we wait until we're adults before we have vocations. We have vocations at any age. So thanks for pointing that out. Maddie, let's talk about your involvement. When did you first get involved in LYF?
So I first got involved in Lutheran Youth Fellowship when I was a junior in high school. So that was 4 years ago, I think. And it just was by some sort of work of God that I ended up there. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I showed up and we did this training and, it was just such an amazing weekend, an amazing experience for me, to really see a lot of peers in leadership and to be equipped for leadership. And, I came back the next year and the next year happened to be a year we were voting on, executive board members for the coming 3-year term. And then now I've been coming back since then, and so, yeah, my involvement has just been, I didn't really know what I was doing, but it somehow we have become a team that I work with that has really become passionate for it.
What did you learn in that first training that you attended? What did you learn and what was the draw that brought you back?
The first training we did was one on, not exactly apologetics, but on worldview. And it was based on Brad Alice's book, Life's Big Questions, God's Big Answers. And it was just so fascinating to me. I'm very much into the nerdy stuff sometimes. And so that was just so fascinating to me to learn about, you know, what does the Bible say about worldview and about things like what about where are the dinosaurs? Like, what are things like that? And just as a high schooler, that was so fascinating to look at, not just, the Bible says this or the Bible says that, but like, here's really what we can take away from it that we might not normally think about, and how that can shape our faith too.
Well, very good. And that is, I'm glad you mentioned that resource. That is a helpful resource, I think, for teens, that particular book that you mentioned. I've come across it before. And I think finding resources like that and sharing them with other teens is one of the things that I think LYF does well, connecting teens with great resources and with one another so that you can be faithful in your vocations as a youth, as a teen.
Yes, and I think that's our goal with Lutheran Youth Fellowship is to have resources to equip other teens to build one another up, to build them up in faith and community and in leadership. And so I think that having these trainings and having some of the book resources that come with those trainings and just having the experience to be at our event in March and our meeting is just such a unique time to really be in community with your peers in a way that you wouldn't normally do it, because you're seeing your peers lead and facilitate in a way that you can model back home with your local congregation, with your local district, and really, like Jessica was saying, be the church of today and not of tomorrow.
Jessica, how often does this this training happen, and what happens in the training?
A really unique part of the training is that, like Maddie said, it's led by their peers. So that training curriculum that's incorporated in that that four-day-long event is actually taught by the executive board, and the executive board are all teenagers. So the teens elect who's going to be leading the next year, and then they actually lead the sessions. So Maddie is really a good example of what happens at the leadership training, and that she came as a participant. She saw people her own age leading, and then that empowered her to do the same thing.
And this happens every year, correct?
Right. In March, we have our leadership training. So those five executive board teens would then lead the training to the 40 or so teens that fly in from all over the U.S. to be part of this training. And it's always in March here in St. Louis. But we also have other trainings using the same curriculum, but a different part of the event. Like in July, this summer in New Orleans, it's the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference. So it's a conference for lay and professional youth workers, but there's a youth track. So you could, they can bring along a youth who's showing leadership skills, you know, in their congregation, and they can go through this same curriculum with the executive board there. And in the future, I hope we'll have even more.
Maddie, what are you looking forward to with this year's training?
This year's training, I'm really looking forward to how easy it will be to take home. This year's training, we have a different style of resources than we have in the past, and it's also focusing not just on how do you defend your faith, but how do you defend your faith to authority members. And so each year we have a visioning process, and we kind of decide what do we want to focus on for the next year. And last year, what was really apparent is these teens wanted to know, how do I defend my faith when my coach or my teacher or my professor says, no, you're wrong? What do you do? How do you stay respectful, but how do you still stand strong in what it is you believe? And so I'm really excited about how practical a take-home is going to be for this year's training.
That seems to me that that really gets at the heart of much of your vocation as a student, as a young person. Probably the biggest, one of the biggest challenges I think that you would face as a Christian, wanting to be faithful in your bold confession, yet wanting to be respectful of those who have authority over you, the fourth commandment, but also the other commandments, the first commandment, trusting God and being faithful in your confession. Sure, a dilemma that I would imagine you face frequently.
Yes, exactly. And that is why I'm so excited about it, is just that this will give our teens a chance to explore that vocation, explore the vocation as a Christian paralleled with their vocation as a student.
Jessica, how does the training work? Give us an idea of what that looks like. You mentioned it was like a 4-day event, correct?
Right, right. It's an event that incorporates a lot of different different teaching methods, a lot of different experiences that kind of lead all to that leadership development. So every year there are some things that stay the same. There's some basic leadership training, how to lead a devotion, how to lead the training in the future. But the topic is different every year. So the teens vote, like Maddie said, the teens vote on what they want the specific topic to be the next year. And then I get to find an author who's an expert in that area and work with them to develop a 4 or 5 session curriculum then that the executive board will teach to the group. So that leadership training, those sessions are a big part of the weekend. There's a strong spiritual focus, prayers, daily devotions, daily worship, because it's not just leadership, but spiritual leadership, Christian leadership that they can take home to their congregations. And the goal is that each participant at the event will then go back to their home district, their home congregation, and lead those same sessions, that same curriculum, with other teens. So it's like the ripple in the pond kind of a thing.
Teens leading teens,
exactly.
I believe is the phrase I've heard used before.
Right.
Maddie, as one who helps lead the training, how do you think that that the training will be received by youth. How have you seen that in the past, and what do you anticipate will be received this year?
In the past, the participants there have always received it very well. They've always been very on board with what the training is and very excited to utilize it. Oftentimes you see it just kind of stop there because you go home, you leave this retreat, you leave this Jesus high experience, mm-hmm. and get back to this real life that you live every day. But I think what's different is that this year we're a lot more intentional about how are we going to equip you to take this further than just this weekend. And so I think it'll be received really well because we just always end up having participants who are so on fire for what they're doing and want to serve and want to lead like this. And I think this year, with our intentional focus on how do you take this home, it's going to go very well.
Looking at that 4-day event, what do you think is the most helpful part of that training? What is the most helpful tool that youth will be given at this training? What do you think, Maddie? I know
that's No, go ahead. That's a really great question. I think what will be most helpful is just having this community behind them that they will kind of grow in for the weekend to know that we'll support them mm-hmm. for going forward in this. And it's just the actual resource itself is going to be very helpful. They'll receive their own program for it. They'll receive a binder with the sessions and with the trainings and with the happenings of the weekend, and having that tangible resource to take back and say, this right here, I know I can read through these things and apply these things and use these things, I think will be very helpful.
Having been involved in LYF for a while now, Maddie, we mentioned, or I think Jessica mentioned a little bit ago, that there are youth flying in from all over the country for this. Have you made friends from around the country, and how connected are you to these people throughout the year?
It's been the coolest thing. Social media has helped so much in the last year or so. I've seen it more in the last year than I have in the past. But yeah, I have for sure made friends who now live in the most obscure places in my mind. I guess they're not completely obscure because they live there. But I know people now who live in many, many parts of the United States. And it's been so awesome to see, just to see what they're doing on Facebook or on Twitter, and see when they're connecting with people who were at the training with them and just talking about their experience there and talking about, oh, me and my friends are doing this at the Southern District Youth Gathering this week. Like, can you pray praying for us? And just to see that they're utilizing one another and keeping those relationships going throughout the year has been so cool.
It's neat to see that. Yeah, I mean, like, every year I'm surprised by how close you all get in just, those 4 days. I think because so many teens feel isolated, especially, if you are in a small town or you go to a public school and there's no other youth your age around, and the kids that come to this are real leaders in their congregation, and so they meet a bunch of other people who are also Christian leaders, and they're like, oh, I'm not alone, I'm not the only one. And so watching those networks form, that's been really cool.
So Jessica, you certainly see these young people connecting throughout the year too. I mean, they meet at this annual event, but to hear from them that they're connecting throughout the year, do you see it on Facebook as well, in places like that, in social media? Do you see some of those conversations happening as well?
Oh, exactly. I'll just echo what Maddie said. There's a Facebook group, they're always chatting, they're talking, and as the next year comes, they start building up excitement again, and are you going to be there again? I'm going to be there. And it's really neat to see that, and to see that they're being supported. And, a lot of them come with their youth leaders. Mm-hmm. And so then they get the support of that adult leader too, that when they go back, that adult leader can help them stay accountable, can help them put together an event where they can share the training. And so from all different perspectives, like, there's a lot of community building and fellowship going on. And Maddie leads part of that. The executive board leads community builders and intentional kinds of fellowship opportunities. So not just the training, there's all these other components going on. And Maddie and the executive board have done a great job of leading that. This will be this board's second year of leading this training.
Maddie, how is the executive board established? How are the members chosen for the executive board?
The members of the executive board are chosen every 3 years, and the year of an election year, we have been voted on based on the region we come from in the United States. So each one of the five of us are from a different region of the United States, ideally representing the entire country that way. So it was just it's chosen by vote of who is there at that year's training. Mm-hmm. And so the year I was elected, I was one of, I think, three people from my entire region who showed up. And so it made for a little bit different of an election compared to some of the ones who had 10 or 12 people come. But it, you can totally see how God works through who is chosen on the executive board, because the five of us get along in a very unique way, and we're a very unique community or even family of our own that we connect with one another throughout the year, because we only see each other twice a year. But we connect with each other throughout the year. We do a devotion together. Jessica really holds us accountable for just keeping that sense of community. And yeah, so we got involved in that as a team, I guess, 2 years ago. And this is our second year of being one of the leaders for it. And then mm-hmm. next year will be our final year.
Maddie, how do you think, I can see and hear in what you've been sharing, how this is helpful to you now. How do you think this experience, the skills that you've gained and the leadership experience you've gained here, how do you think this might help you in the future as well?
Well, just in the even the most immediate future, the stuff that I'm involved in here at Concordia and Irvine, I've been able to utilize quite a bit of my LYF training to help lead events and retreats for local congregations here. We have different teams that go out and work in different churches, and I'm currently studying to be a DCE, so I'm involved in a church quite regularly. So just immediately, I've seen that be very helpful. But just the leadership opportunity, too, is just such a unique thing that I'm so excited to see what that'll do for me in the future, because it's not the same as leading in a youth group, and it's not the same as leading on a soccer team. It's a different setting that will be an experience I'm sure I'm going to take a lot away from as I get older.
Very good. Very good. And I know that you need to head to class here shortly, but what class do you have this morning, by the way?
I have History of the Christian Church.
Oh, cool.
We're talking about Charlemagne. We've hit that point in the church history.
How interesting. Well, yeah. Who has been, in your involvement with LYF, who has been most encouraging for you to be involved with Lutheran Youth Fellowship and to do the things that you've been doing, whether it's back home at your church or wherever, who's been most encouraging to support you along the way?
I think, honestly, my parents have been the most supportive of what I've been doing. I got involved with it through my church, and I'm just coming back to how much interest and love I had for it. My parents really understood and really encouraged quite a bit. And they were the ones, especially my dad was the one who was like, you know, if you're going to do this, like, I'm really proud of you for doing this, and I want you to continue to do this. And then coming out here to school, I've been in such a awesome, blessed position that our school is in the Pacific Southwest District, who does a lot with LYF. And I've just been so encouraged by my DCE professors and some of the other DCEs around here mm-hmm. who are involved in that. And I've actually had even just this year, my professor who just got here this year, Rebecca Duport, was actually in LYF as a teen. Mm-hmm. And so she was all excited that I am involved in this now. And so it's just been really encouraging to have people at home and here at school who understand what it is and who want to see it continue and want to see leaders continue to be equipped.
Sure, sure. I bet you get to study with Dr. Dave Reeder out there as well, too.
I do. I have his class today as well.
Well, very good. Well, say hello to him for us.
Of course.
We know you need to get to class. We'll let you go. Thank you so much, Maddie Epchurch,
right,
for being our guest
so
today.
Much.
Bye, Maddie. See you in 3 weeks.
Bye, Jessica. Have a good day.
Jessica, listening to Maddie and her story and what she's had to share about LYF, is that common? Is that what you hear from other members of LYF, and especially, you know, the executive board?
Absolutely. I mean, past members of the executive board have gone on to be leaders in the church workers, seminary professors. It's neat to see those leadership skills develop at that age, and then for them to continue to use them as they get older, but to be using them as a teen mm-hmm. right now where they are with the other teens around them.
That is encouraging to help them understand that vocation, that whatever their place in life, whatever their station in life is, God is using them to serve their neighbor, to care for the neighbor, to serve their neighbor wherever they are in life. And I think if we understand that at that critical age, at that time in life, as a young person, that helps us to be faithful servants later on in life as well. And so encouraging to hear Maddie's story and how she's involved with LYF and now on the executive board and preparing to train and lead more teens coming up here in just a few weeks, not too far down the road. I want to talk about that training and all the plans that are coming up for that and how more people can get involved in LYF and also what's going on in young adult ministry. We'll talk about that too. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. We're talking with Jessica Bordolo in young adult ministry and LYF Lutheran Youth Fellowship right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. The messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Earlier, I told you about a friend of mine, Eric Scheidler, head of Pro-Life Action League, who sent abortionists a pair of plastic handcuffs with his phone number. Many abortionists are arrested for illegal behavior, and he offered dialogue for a way out of the killing industry. Eric got more attention than he expected. Pro-abortion organizations had a fit. But more importantly, he was contacted by some who seemed to want out of the business. Another wanted to report an alarming situation going on at an abortion mill. Eric has a gentle Christian spirit, and opening the door to those inside the abortion world has potential for saving babies' lives, sparing their parents the emotional aftermath, and possibly snatching their souls from the grasp of Satan. Please pray for Eric's efforts.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
The LCMS shares the good news of Jesus' incarnation, death, and resurrection with those in our own backyards, in urban, rural, and small town areas, and with Hispanic, Black, and other ethnic communities. This month, we are focusing on our national mission work. Join us in supporting this work. Find resources at lcms.org/themes/February.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at KFUO.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, February 20th, and we are talking with Jessica Bordalo. She is the coordinator for LCMS Young Adult Ministry and Lutheran Youth Fellowship, the ministry training for LYF. And before we went to break, we got to hear Maddie's story of her involvement with LYF, and just what an encouraging story to help us, that I think is a reminder how important it is for us to support and encourage young people to be active members of their congregation, not just someone that we walk past on Sunday morning, but encourage them to be an active part of their congregation. That doesn't matter what your age is, you still have a vocation to serve your neighbor, to care for your neighbor, and to serve in whatever ways you might be given in your congregation, in your community. Jessica, this training happens every year for young people. And how is this year's training different than previous years?
Well, we try every year to do some new things. Always the topic for the training sessions, mm-hmm. those are always different, like we said before. This year's is Teen Stand Strong, and it's designed to help youth show respect to authority, even when that authority is teaching a worldview that the students reject as Christians. So how do you show respect to them when you can't agree with the things that they're saying, especially when they're being hostile to Christianity? And mocking them for their faith. And that happens a lot. And so the kids picked that as the topic for this year. And that is, it's kind of cool. This is the first time that we've incorporated a video portion in our session. So Dr. Joel Bierman, professor at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, developed the content for this training. And so three of the sessions have like a 20-minute video that we recorded him doing. And then the rest of that session includes interactive processing, unpacking what happened, real interactive kinds of things, discussion among the group. And then the final session is a strategy building activity where the youth actually create their own personal action plan. So they write down, how am I going to take this home? How am I going to stay in the Word? You know, and so it's really, you know, our focus is that they take it home, that this continues. It's not just a cool 4-day leadership training, but that it really makes an impact.
So this is something that they can use. They can take back home. They can share with others, train others, especially other youth, and something they can use on a daily basis. And as you were speaking about this, I just pictured these young people in their classrooms in high school, you know, especially if they're attending a public high school or preparing to go off to college. And as you were talking about the, you know, speaking with those who have authority over them, professors, teachers, who are arguing with them or creating a hostile, you know, who are hostile toward Christianity and God's word and the true history of our existence. And just preparing and equipping young people to stand firmly in those situations and to confess faithfully and respectfully the truth when they're faced with those situations. This is going to be something that I think our teens are going to face for a long time in this generation and future generations.
Right. And there's a lot of apologetic resources available, but this training doesn't go that route. It talks more about understanding the worldview that those authority figures are coming from, knowing who you are as a baptized child of God, and the worldview that you start out with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, how do you show respect in those contexts where sometimes explaining what you believe, trying to convince them in class, it's not the respectful way, not even an effective way for your classmates and for that professor to interact with a Christian. So I really like how practical this training is, that it really gives practical tips. You know, after you understand those worldviews, what's the best way of going about standing strong? And part of that is the personal action plan in that last session, where they stay strong in their faith. They're in worship, they're in Bible study, they're in time alone in the Word. And I think that really kind of builds that up. And any teen can come to this training. In the past, it's been just for Lutheran Youth Fellowship representatives from districts when those kind of existed more. And now this is open to anybody. So if you're listening and you know of a high school student at your church who's showing leadership ability, who could benefit from this, you can send them.
Mm-hmm.
Any congregation member can come. And you can find more information about that at lcms.org/youth. All the information is up there, and there's still room. You can still send them. Do it. It's
now,
awesome.
What is this training happening? I'm glad that you mentioned that this is open to anyone now. I know in the past there were specific representatives from districts and regions, but now this is open to anyone.
Right.
When is this event happening?
March 12th to 15th. It's a Thursday afternoon through a Sunday, so they will need to get off of school on that Friday, and the youth leader coming with them can give things to their teachers so that they're mm-hmm. aware of that, and so can we. So they do miss a day of school, but they get a lot more.
So they would come to St. Louis, and it's at a retreat center here in the St. Louis area, correct?
Right, at the Palatine Renewal Center. So we're all staying there together. It's not like a hotel. It's a lot more intimate of a setting where we can spend a lot of time together. If the March training is not at a good time or location for people, they can come to the summer one. That's part of the National Youth Workers Conference in New Orleans in July. So there's another option, another way to be a part of this too.
So St. Louis in March or New Orleans in July, either one of those are opportunities to get this training
right.
and then to take it back home
right.
as well.
And the curriculum is available whether or not you come to the training. Every year, that curriculum that's written by those different authors
mm-hmm.
is available. And they're all, again, lcms.org/youth on the youth ministry page of the Synodical website. You can read about all the past trainings. There's all these different topics. How to share your faith, how to build bridges to other generations, how to plan a service project. And those are available. You know, look them up. You can use them in your congregation. They're really valuable curriculum resources written by some pretty cool authors.
And I remember last year talking about intergenerational ministry and connecting, bridging those gaps between generations, and certainly helpful stuff. Have you received feedback from those who attended last year? Any feedback from those who participated last year on that training?
Right. Well, some of the participants have led that training at their district youth events. So they've taught them mm-hmm. to large groups of other teens, and it's been a really positive response. I think the youth felt really equipped with that intergenerational component because, you know, they don't need to be afraid to interact with the older people or younger people at their church. We're all part of the same church family, and families have people of different ages. You don't need to only stick with people your own age. So, you know, every year that topic, I think, because the youth vote on the topic, mm-hmm. like it's really, relevant to where they are at because we try to listen to their voice. Mm-hmm. What do they need? Where are you at? What can we do for you? It's exciting to see them take so much leadership in the way that these trainings go.
One other thing I think that you might have mentioned earlier, it might have been off the air, that you had mentioned that's unique about this year's training, using some video this year. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. The curriculum incorporates a video presentation. So Dr. Bierman's videos are about 20 minutes in each session. And then the other 40 minutes are unpacking, interactive processing, community discussion kind of things that I developed. So having those two parts, I think will add another layer of usefulness because all the content will be kind of shared by the expert. And then the youth that lead this will have the whole other 40 minutes of that session's hour that they lead the discussion about it, mm-hmm. they unpack it. So it's kind of a good blend, I think, of the expert sharing the content and then the youth really doing what they're really good at, you know, and facilitating discussion and leading other teens to understand that content.
So the videos will be used in the training here in March and in July. Will the videos also be made available for those who can't make it to these events, do you know?
Absolutely. It's a whole set. So this year's curriculum comes with the training videos,
mm-hmm.
a facilitator's guide, and a participant's guide. And the I would say most of the trainings do, so that there's a really specific detailed facilitator's guide, so that when youth go through the training as a participant, then they can look at the facilitator's guide, and it kind of gives them some support in how to do that. So it really equips them as leaders as well as whatever the topic is that year.
Very good. And when can we expect those materials to be available? I know that the training is in March and in July. Do you think it'll come out sometime in the fall?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure when they'll be available. I know all the past ones are already available.
Great.
I know the participants that come to these events go home with it, but yeah, I would have to check. I'm not sure. But if you keep tuned to the website, you'd be able to find out.
LCMS.org/youth. Very good. Anything else about the LYF training, the Teen Stand Strong, that's hard to say, Teens Stand Strong training?
No, I hope that people that are listening can identify more youth that show those leadership skills so that the ministry can impact as many kids as possible.
And again, if you're interested in the training in March, you can find information on that at lcms.org/youth. It's there under LYF, Lutheran Youth Fellowship, on that page. You can find more information there. And I believe registration is available there online as well, correct?
Yeah, right. I mean, all of the resources we've talked about in Lutheran Youth Fellowship, from the curriculum to the training, they're all available. They're right there. And people don't always know that content is, it's ready. Come use it.
Is there, for someone who's participating in the training here at the Retreat Center in St. Louis, is there a cost that's associated with that? Obviously, they would be responsible for getting themselves here to St. Louis.
Correct, right. Right. They would get themselves here, and then they'd pay the registration fee that includes the housing, because we're all together in this retreat center, the meals, the curriculum, everything. And they can get more information about that at the website.
Very good. So all that information there at lcms.org/youth.
You got it.
All right. Now let's switch hats a little bit. You also are the coordinator for young adult ministry as well here at the LCMS. And I remember we talked about a number of things going on last year. What's going on this year when it comes to young adults? What are some of the things that you've been working on recently?
Well, we continue to work on the website. We have a website of resources for young adults that has a lot of devotions, Bible studies, some media reviews, some podcasts, and that would be lcmsyam.org. YAM stands for Young Adult Ministry.
Not sweet potatoes?
No, I like them, but that's not what the website's about. But there's all kinds of resources there, and I think a unique aspect of that is that most all of them are written by young adults. Now, when I'm saying young adults in this context, I'm not talking about high schoolers. These young adults are post-high school, 18 and older, usually 18 through their 20s. So it's a different life stage. It's after high school. But that website was developed in response to a task force of young adults. Oh, like 7 years ago we started. And every one of us were young adults then. And so it was really kind of grassroots. And we had, like 2 weeks ago, we had a new task force discussion group of a new group of young adults that are now giving input and kind of directing the way that ministry goes as well.
And are there events coming up for young adults, or any that are in the works that you might be able to share with us?
Right. Yeah. The other aspect of that ministry, in addition to the resources on the website, are servant events, because millennials really connect with opportunities to serve across the board. Like they'll put their sweat where their words are. You know, they don't have money to put there, but you know, they will work hard. They will volunteer in things that they think are worthwhile. And so having opportunities to serve in the name of Christ is something that's really resonating with Christian young adults. So we have two this summer. There's one in New Orleans, July 16th to 19th. They'll be working with Camp Restore, that's still working on the restoration of the city. And then there's going to be one here in St. Louis, August 13th to 16th. And we'll be working with refugee kids that are here in St. Louis, because there's a lot of refugee and immigrant families here. And so we'll be working with those kids, doing a day camp with them, and then really working on the facilities of the Peace Center for New Americans in downtown, cleaning it, kind of restoring some of it so that it continues to be the really active community center that it is. And these events are not just service events. Like that's the main thing. That's the big component. But we do Bible study with those participants. We do some leadership development with those participants. So just like with Lutheran Youth Fellowship, like we want them to come and be equipped for further service. You know, so they come for that weekend or that 3-day weekend, and then they take it home. I know some of the, well, specifically one of the participants at the last sermon event at the Peace Center with those refugee kids. After that event, he now comes every week to tutor those kids. Like, he just kept going with it. And that's, I mean, for him, he was here in St. Louis, but a lot of the other young adults that come from different places, they can take that home to their congregations too. So if you want information about those things, you can go to the young adult website, mm-hmm. lcmsyam.org. And all of the event information is there for both of those sermon events as well.
Okay. So looking at the event in New Orleans, July 16th through the 19th, mm-hmm. that's shortly after the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference as well. But I see this is called Orange Nation.
Right.
Why? What's the name Orange Nation?
Yeah. At the National Youth Gatherings, which is for high schoolers, there are a lot of college-age volunteers who make that possible. And they always wore orange shirts so that the youth would know, you know, if you need help, go to this person, they can help you. And so they became Orange Nation. Brandon Heath volunteer coordinates that big project. And, you know, the largest group of LCMS young adults to get together is at this youth gathering. You know, 400 young adults pay to come and serve mm-hmm. as part of Orange Nation. And so Brandon Heath coordinates that, and he's coordinating that servant event in New Orleans. So that community built in the summertime from at the last youth gathering of those young adults kind of is carried out then and continued there. And then the one here in St. Louis, I'm coordinating. So, you know, we try to give opportunities in different places and to different groups.
The Lead Serve Love event, August 13th through the 16th here in St. Louis, is a partnership with Christian Friends of New Americans. And we get to talk with CFNA every once in a while here on Worldwide KFUO. They do some really neat things here in St. Louis in terms of helping, well, new Americans get settled in and just really creating a sense of community. By building relationships with them. What will you be doing at that servant event with Christian Friends of New Americans here in St. Louis? What are some of the things that you'll be working on?
Well, the Peace Center downtown mm-hmm. is the community center that they run, that they oversee. So we're going to come out there and we're going to work one day cleaning and repairing the building, getting ready for the next day as well, where we'll have refugee comes in, kids come in for the day, and we'll do kind of like a vacation Bible school day. So, mm-hmm. you know, last year there were songs, Bible study, activities, games, that kind of thing. And then the last day, this was kind of cool, some of the community families really helped us make some ethnic meals where we went to the ethnic food stores, you know, like the markets with mm-hmm. the specific ingredients. They took us shopping, we bought the ingredients, and then we went back to the Peace Center kitchen and they showed us how to make this really great food. So we had some Indian food, we had some Hmong food, and then we all ate together. So that's kind of a cool ending of that event. So
what were some of, see, you brought up food, which is my weakness.
You should come.
What were, so just gathering together and having that opportunity to learn from them, learn from the new Americans about food from their culture. Was there a favorite food out of that or something, a new discovery for you that you found that you liked or something maybe you didn't like?
Oh, how do I pick? Well, the Indian, I love Indian food. And when we were preparing it, when we were getting ingredients, I'm like, oh, we have to make it authentically, make it as spicy as we can, you know. and one of the people that was leading that said, well, we can't even get the spices that are spicy enough here. So you're going to get the American's version of this, but it will still be too spicy for you. But it was awesome. I loved it.
My favorite line from a recent movie, The 100-Foot Journey, why sprinkle the spices when you can spoon them in?
Yeah, totally.
Was that what your experience was like in cooking that food?
It was great.
Very good. Well, so those are two great opportunities. Orange Nation, July 16th through the 19th. That'll be an opportunity to serve. And you said that's at Camp Restore. Is that correct?
Right. And it's connected to the National Youth Leaders Conference because it's right after it. Mm-hmm. So I like that. You know, a youth leader can come to the conference, bring their high school-aged youth to go through the Lutheran Youth Fellowship youth track.
Mm-hmm.
And then the young adults can go to the sermon event right after that. So it could be possible for you just to do the whole thing. Stay in New Orleans the whole time.
And do some serving there
right.
in New Orleans.
In fact, the executive board members of Lutheran Youth Fellowship, a lot of them are planning on staying to do the sermon event because they were elected as high school students.
Mm-hmm.
But since they have a 3-year term, they're in college now. And so they can then, after leading, go participate in that sermon event.
Great. That's a great idea. And then lead sort of love here in St. Louis, August 13th through the 16th, partnering with Christian Friends of New Americans to serve the immigrant families here in the St. Louis area. And you can find out more about this at lcmsyam.org and some other helpful resources there as well. Anything else about young adult ministry, other events or things, feedback from last year's events?
Sure. The feedback has been really great. A lot of people are coming back again. I've asked some of the past participants to be on the leadership team for planning this summer's event.
Mm-hmm.
And registration is totally open for both of those. The one here in St. Louis, and we've been really blessed by community vendors like donating food and stuff, so that the registration fee is $36, and that includes all your food. Housing is separate, but we usually can get housing at a local church for like $10 a night. So it's not very expensive to come if you can drive here. We were able to get food donated from lots of area congregations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like one community center and it's mm-hmm. all, you know, kind of isolated. But that community center is supported by 4 LCMS congregations. So the immigrant families that come to that community center then are connected to a faith home, to a congregation where they can continue to be fed and really connected to that congregation. And then churches that are farther away from the city have been supporting the event by letting us meet in their building, feeding us. So it's been cool. It's a real community event. A lot of different LCMS congregations are pulling together for this.
So if you can, certainly if you can drive here, if someone's planning on maybe flying in or taking the train in, coming by bus, they could probably connect with somebody to help get transportation.
Absolutely.
Over there.
Absolutely.
And St. Louis is a nice place to make your way to. It's pretty easy to get here. There's some pretty relatively inexpensive flights, or by, like I said, by bus, by train, so you can come here and as you pointed out, the low cost of that event. It's a great thing to do. Get to do during the summer as well. August 13th through the 16th. Lead, serve, love. So. What else is going on in young adult ministry? Obviously planning for down the road for these events and gearing up for that. Anything else in terms of young adult ministry to share today?
We do ongoing posts, ongoing uploads on the website. So there's new devotions available. There's new things going up there. And then the big exciting thing this year was the meeting of the new young adult task force and the new group of young adults that are going to come in and direct that ministry. We just met a few weeks ago, like I said. It was really exciting. A lot of great ideas. And just hearing where the millennial culture is at,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual needs that they have, like the resources that they would need. Obviously, everybody's spiritual need is that we need Christ and we need forgiveness through Him. But the way that different cultures speak that, the way that different cultures understand that is different. And millennials have their own culture. So if we can take that message that doesn't change and speak it in a way that makes sense to them and that can reach them.
Isn't it interesting talking about young adults as another generation? It wasn't that long ago that we were... That,
speak for yourself. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back and revisit some of the things we talked about at the top of the hour as well, the Lutheran Youth Fellowship training, point folks to those resources as well, where they can find that online. The Teen Stand Strong training, that's coming up in March. Also another option this summer in July at the National Lutheran Youth Workers Conference. The training, the curriculum will be offered at both of those. And the March event, 4 days here in St. Louis, starting on March 12th, is that right?
That's right.
March 12th through the 15th here in St. Louis. Registration information available at lcms.org/youth. And anybody can come. It's not restricted to a specific, only so many representatives from a certain area or anything like that this year.
Exactly. Anybody can come. Both Lutheran Youth Fellowship and Young Adult Ministry have in common, that leadership component, that's for anybody.
Now, and if you're coming to the Teen Stand Strong training, do youth need to bring, do they need to come with an adult, or certainly a youth leader from their congregation might come, but is that a requirement?
They usually do, especially because travel is involved.
Sure.
And, you know, if you're under the age of 15, to fly alone, there's certain, you know, requirements and things you have to do. And we really encourage a youth leader to come along with them, because then they can be supported, especially in taking that training home and then leading it at home. But we're not going to turn anybody away, that especially if their youth leader communicates with us what's going on and we're in connection with them and, you know, and why they're there.
And it sounds like to me that this would even be a helpful event for parents to attend, to understand, to learn, to get a perspective of how to help your teen understand where they can be bold in their vocations at school and that sort of thing. This might be a helpful thing for a mom or dad, or maybe somebody else's mom or dad to come along.
Sometimes that works better.
To come along and be a part of that training as well.
We definitely want parental support. Definitely want youth to be supported. You know, some of the latest surveys and research that's been going out said that the number one influencer in the faith development of teens is still their parents. A lot of times parents are like, oh, now they're teenagers, my job's over, they're not going to listen to me. But that's not what the research shows. Parents are the number one factor in the faith development of their kids. And the second greatest is non-parent adults at their church.
Mm-hmm.
All the other factors in that really in-depth research study didn't even compare to those two things.
Yeah, it is interesting that the science actually matches what the scriptures already teach us. Mm. You know, the research is showing us what the scriptures teach us, that parents, yes, you are so key, so important in the faith and the life of your young people, your children. That spiritual nurture, certainly, as the scriptures show us, is the vocation of parent. But there are so many other people, mature Christians, who are key in that nurture as well.
Right. And you want the adults to be able to reach out to the younger people like that. But both Lutheran Youth Fellowship and Young Adult Ministry is giving tools to those younger people to reach out to the older adults in their church, especially when sometimes the older adults think that they're not, their influence isn't wanted, their involvement isn't wanted. Young people are actually looking for mentors, and that's what the research shows. That's what my experience has showed. You know, high schoolers, young adults, it doesn't matter. They're looking for mentors. And so if we can give them the tools to reach out, help them become leaders, you know, just kind of helps connect the whole church family.
Absolutely. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for sharing this information with us. Again, two websites we'll point you to, listeners, lcms.org/youth. If you'd like information on the upcoming Teen Stand Strong Lutheran Youth Fellowship training, and that's coming up March 12th through the 15th, or the Young Adult Servant Events, Young Adult Ministry, lcmsyam.org. You can find information on those events July 16th to the 19th in New Orleans, or August 13th to the 16th here in St. Louis. Both great events. Jessica, thanks for being our guest and sharing with us about these LYF events and young adult ministry events as well.
Anytime. Thanks for asking me.
You bet. Well, coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. We're going to study God's Word here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO, an important part of what we do here as the messenger of good news. Stick around for more right after this break.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.